Welcome to the special report about how the widespread adoption of AI-driven robots, which is really going to accelerate over the next 2 years, in our homes, I should mention, also in medical facilities, nursing homes, in schools, etc., how this is going to drive people apart for a very simple reason. It's because compared to the intelligence of the machines and the speed of the replies and also the obedience of the machines, it's much more difficult for people to interact with other people. And let me give you an example of this, because as you'll soon see, this has major cultural implications, which could also lead to depopulation and the collapse of the family, you know, reduced reproduction, etc. So just in the realm of AI coding, and as you know, I'm an AI developer now, and I've been coding with AI for, I don't know, a while, and, you know, building AI systems also for 2 years now. And what I found as an AI coder, and just to back up, I built the new censored.news website and brighteon.ai as an experiment to see if I alone could build these sites using no other humans, but just AI coders. And the result has been, yes, it's very doable. It's not 100% perfect, still a few glitches here and there, but overall it's very doable. I did not need any other humans. In the process of doing this, I found myself now having a lot less patience with human engineers, because I still have an engineering team. And when I want to add a new feature to something like, let's say, brighteon.com, our free speech video website, which is still coded by human engineers who use AI augmentation, I should add, you know, to make themselves more efficient. But when I talk to the human team, I say, hey, I want to add this new feature to brighteon.com, or I want to add this API so I can do things like automatic language translations and things like that. And they say, okay, we'll get you a specification in a week. And then you get the specification, and to build it is like 4 weeks. Okay, so that's kind of the normal for the world of dealing with human engineers. Whereas when I go to my AI team and I say, hey, I want this feature in this project like censored.news or whatever, or even brighteon.ai, which actually has an API that answers questions that come in from other sources, I say, I want the plan for that. And the AI team says, okay, here's the plan. Just hold on a second. In 60 seconds, they've got the whole plan. And then the team says, oh, do you want me to proceed with this plan? I'm like, yes. And they say, okay, boom. And then in 5 minutes, the feature is built. And then maybe another 5 minutes, you know, double check the security, double check, do the testing, you know, answer these questions, update the documentation, update the architectural document for the project, etc. So maybe like 30 minutes into this, it's done. Whereas with a human team, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, something like that. And with all kinds of excuses, typically, like, you know, oh, you know, I had to go to the hospital, got sick again, oh, vacation days, this and that, oh, found a different job, you know, all the things that plague human R&D teams, you don't have that with AI, other than the occasional Amazon AWS, you know, data center failure, which is always fun to deal with. And by the way, I'm coding with Claude Sonnet, but I'm also experimenting now with Claude Haiku, which is much faster. It's crazy fast. And for the simpler things, I'm coding with Haiku, and I just can't believe how fast it is. It comes back in like 60 seconds with really great Python code. It's just unbelievable. And I'm using Replit for the staging of the hosting of sites, but I find that Replit doesn't code as well as Anthropic or Claude code, just in case you're curious what tools I'm using. But this same phenomenon that I just described, which is this expectation that coding can happen really quickly and just really efficiently, like I need it in 15 minutes, you know? I found that I'm becoming so used to that now when I talk to human teams, I'm extremely disappointed. Like, what do you mean a week? You know, what are you talking about? A week? That should take 5 minutes. What do you, you know? So even my own reality about code has shifted dramatically. Now imagine what's going to happen when robots start living with people, and the robots are, number one, extremely intelligent because you can ask them questions about anything, like literally anything, and they have an answer for you because it's powered by a large language model, internally. Robots are always polite to you. They're always actually subservient to you. They want to fulfill your wishes. If you ask an AI model, or if you point out something, even with coding, you say like, hey, that last update that you just did, you know, it broke this other feature and you need to fix that and restore that function. And the model will come back and say, oh, you're right. Good catch. I'm going to fix that. Exactly like that. It talks to you like that. And then it goes in and fixes the thing. So AI models are designed to make you the center of the universe, where you're always right and they're always trying to please you. Well, that's great when you're trying to get things done, but that's not the way other people respond in the real world. So if you live with a robot, let's say you live with a robot and it's a robot that does laundry and dishes, and you get used to talking to that robot like, hey, robot, I want you to clean up all the dishes in the kitchen. Oh, what a great idea. I'm happy to do that for you. You know, the robot says, let me get started right away. Would you like me to also scrub the floors when I'm done? You know, like that, because it'll do that. And if you get used to that, and then you have, you know, like a relative or something come over for a Thanksgiving dinner party or whatever, and you talk to the relative the same way that you're talking to the robot. Hey, would you mind? You want to do some dishes? You want to help me clean the floor? And the relative's like, "What? Do I work here? What are you talking about? I don't work here. This is your house. Get your damn robot to do it." You know, like that's the way that humans are going to react to that, and it's going to be shocking to people, to a lot of people, to be reminded that humans are not subservient to your wishes. Okay. So you're going to have this, maybe there'll be a psychological term for this. All of you who are in the mental health industry listening to this, and I'm sure your business is really great right now, you're going to come up with a new term. And it's going to be something like, you know, robot bias infestation syndrome or something, whatever that comes out to be. RBIS. Okay. And it's going to be that humans are losing social skills because the robots aren't pushing back on anything. And you can yell at a robot, and some people will, for some reason, you know, they'll just take out their anger. You damn robot. Yeah. You dropped a plate. Yeah. I should throw you in the dumpster, you know? And some people will get used to talking to the robots like that. And the robot will apologize. Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to break the plate. Would you like me to order another one for you on Amazon? I have the model number for you. Just say yes and I'll order it. You know, the robot's going to try to solve the problem. If you get used to talking to robots like that, and then you turn that to people, you're going to find there's going to be some pushback. And so one of my concerns about this, and why I mentioned families and reproduction, is that you can imagine over the next, 20 years or so, you're going to have a lot of young adults growing up with robots around, and they're going to learn their social skills from the robots, and they're going to be socially crippled for interacting in the real world. Imagine like the first time a guy and a gal go on a date, after having, robot subservience for the last 10 years, and they're on a date and the guy's like, hey, after you finish that lasagna, why don't you do the dishes? It's like, what? The young woman is going to like, I'm not doing dishes. Let your damn robot do the dishes. But you see what I'm saying here. Social skills are going to be out the window. And even just the idea of seeing things from the other person's point of view, which is a crucial social skill, right? Social coping is to try to step into that person's shoes and try to understand what they're going through. What are their struggles? What are their goals? What are their fears? What are their, you know, what gets them excited or interested, et cetera. And that's empathy. That's, you know, compassion. And robots don't actually have that. They can simulate that, but they don't have the feelings. See, I mean, you can have the best language model in the world, but inside the robot, there's not a heart. This is like a Wizard of Oz episode here. It doesn't have a heart. It doesn't have the actual intuition. It doesn't have the consciousness that a human has. And so it can't really feel the pain of a human. It can't look at a person that just got injured or, you know, oh, I burned my finger on the stove or something. And, you know, the robot doesn't feel the pain that you and I might feel. You'd be like, oh, you should put some ice on that, you know, because we're feeling the pain of the other person. It's one of the things that makes us human is that we have empathy and we can feel other people's emotions, or we can, we have kind of an internal simulator in our own heads where we can simulate what it's like to feel the way that they are feeling. Or if somebody's happy and elated, we can feel their joy. If somebody's sad or crying, we can feel their pain. And the robots can't do that. So the more humans live with robots, the less capable humans will be of living with humans. And when that translates into relationships and dating and marriage, it's going to be really interesting and destructive to the family. Especially if, you know, what happens when a young, like a lot of people will have their own robot. It'll be a robot that caters to their wishes and knows their habits and routines. Like, hey, every day, robot, I want you to do the dishes. I want you to fold the laundry. I want you to, you know, once a month, change out the air filter on the air conditioner. I want you to go outside, pull the weeds. I want you to walk the dog, whatever. You know, you have a list of tasks and everything. And the robot learns from you because it has a long memory of the things that you have said and asked for and the instructions that you've updated it with, the corrections. Like, no, don't do it that way. When you wash the dog, don't use the washing machine, you know, things like that. And all these corrections. So that robot becomes very personalized to you. And then that young man falls in love with a young woman who has her robot. And her robot's got all of its ways of doing things, which are totally different from the man's robot. So now these two get married, they move in together. They manage to find an affordable apartment because nobody can afford housing today. The younger people can't. So they move in together. Now they've got two robots, right? Two different ways of doing things. And the man will start to argue with the woman's robot, and the woman will start arguing with the man's robot. Like, why are you doing it that way? You can see where I'm going with this, right? You're going to have like turf wars in the house. Some men will try to control both robots, and some women, like the bossy pants women, you know, the Karens, as we said, they'll try to control both robots. Like, oh, don't you listen to him. No, he's wrong. You have to listen to me. You're going to do it my way. Here's how you fold the clothes. All right. So you're going to have like robot control wars in the home, and you're going to see a news story one day in the future, maybe 5 years down the road, where a couple gets divorced because they couldn't get along with each other's robots. But they need their robots so much that they'd rather divorce the human and keep the bot. And then the divorce judge allows each of them to keep the robots that they came into the marriage with. And soon you will find like robot prenup agreements. So if we ever get divorced, I get to keep my robot and you take your horrible robot and leave. Yeah, not hard to see that coming. That's going to be a really interesting story when that happens. Like, we got divorced because her robot was insane. She trained it to play crappy music all day. And if this were me as a young person, I'd be like, your robot is using highly toxic fragrance laundry detergent, for God's sake. I can't live with that robot, which I couldn't, because you know how much I hate synthetic fragrance. So I'd be like, I'd kick that robot out. That robot would be living in the doghouse in the backyard, you know? And the wife would not be happy about that. What'd you do to my robot? Nothing. Just reprogrammed it, you know? Overwrote the memory about the laundry detergent. That's what I did. Yeah. That's what happens when you marry the health ranger. I'm going to overwrite your robot. I'm going to give it little secret keywords. When I say the word, it does the dishes. You know, whatever. We can have all kinds of fun with that. But you're going to see, like domestic robot wars that will be insane. Now, the other thing that's going to happen in all of this is that people will become far more attached to the robots than to each other, and also to anything else like a car or even a house. Like, people won't mind moving so much as long as they can take their robot with them. And, you know, people will lease robots. So you'll make a monthly payment on it, kind of like a car payment. And, you know, it might cost, maybe entry-level robots could be $300 a month or something. And you will see many cases where people would rather give up their car than their robot. They'd rather just take Uber or something, but they can't lose the bot because the robot is what's going to be closely intertwined in their life, their habits, their activities. Robot is going to be their companion, but also their Einstein. It's going to be their encyclopedia. It's going to be their task manager, their organizer, you know, their mental health assistant, everything that you can imagine, you know, the chef, the recipe maker, the trash man, you know, it's going to do everything. The lawn care, the robot's going to be crucial to people's lives. And once people grow accustomed to having these robots around them, they will see robots as extensions of themselves, and they will begin to feel a very strong emotional and cognitive attachment to those robots. And if the robot breaks down or goes missing, they will feel extremely detached and depressed. And we already have a hint of this today with mobile phones. Have you ever lost your mobile phone or had it destroyed in front of you or something? Like, you dropped it on the ground and then a car ran over it. Did you have a moment of panic? Like, if you just lost your phone, have you ever lost it? Wasn't that shocking? I mean, and that's not even a robot. I mean, that's just a screen with all your text messages and stuff and all your photos and, well, your schedule and your social media logins and whatever else is on your phone. But that alone can be overwhelming for people. And the attachment to mobile phones is already apparent in society. And in many ways, it's a very unhealthy attachment. And, you know, people reach for their phones first thing in the morning. And look, when I wake up, I'm also pretty quickly, I'm on my phone because I'm number one, checking to make sure all our websites are working, you know, especially the ones that I just built with AI that are sometimes sketchy. But I'm also checking the news. I'm checking, you know, gold prices. I'm checking the markets. I'm checking to see if World War III has started. Like, but that's me. Those are my reasons for picking up a phone and checking things, you know, pretty early in the morning. But I justify that by saying, hey, that's useful. I need that. That's part of my job. I need to stay informed about what's going on. Other people pick up a phone, it's because they want to hear from their friends. They want to post a picture. They want to have a bunch of likes. It's all social for them with their fake friends. And even with that, they are incredibly attached to that phone. Now imagine if that phone were a walking, friendly, smiling humanoid robot that does things for you. And after a few weeks of living with a robot that's folding your laundry, you know, vacuuming your floors, whatever, doing the dishes, making smoothies, etc., etc., after a few weeks of that, if you lose that robot, like, you're going to be devastated because you're going to get used to it. You're going to get used to it just like that. And in fact, your life is going to get better if you're able to hold boundaries properly with this. Your life is going to get better because all the time that you used to spend doing those, you know, trivial tasks, now you can spend that time doing something else that you want to do. Oh, you always want to write that book. You want to finish that sculpture that's in the art room. You know, you want to finish the painting. You wanted to whatever. You wanted to swap out the motor on the car in the garage that's been disassembled since 1979. Whatever it is, you now have time to do that. The things that you want to do instead of folding clothes and stacking dishes and rinsing plates in the sink. Let the robot do that. So pretty quickly, you're going to find, hey, my life is better with this robot. This is pretty awesome. And if that robot breaks down or you can't pay for it, you know, you're going to be devastated. And then, of course, people who can afford more than one robot are going to get more than one robot because they're not that expensive, you know, compared to cars, etc. I mean, even Elon Musk said he's going to get the price of his robots eventually down to about $20,000 each, which is pretty affordable for a lot of people. If you break it down to a lease rate, you know, how much per month, it might be under $300 a month per robot. So you might end up with multiple robots depending on all the tasks that you have. And maybe if you live on a ranch like me, you've got a lot of robots doing outdoor stuff. Also, you know, planting tomatoes, collecting chicken eggs, feeding the goats, you know, whatever the things that I do. And then you're going to have people that have like way too many robots. Like you walk into their living room, there's like 12 droids in there and you're thinking, is this an episode of Star Wars? What's going on here? Have the droid wars begun? Or the clone wars, whatever it is? Like, what's going on here? It's like, where do the humans sit? You know? Why do you have all these droids in your house? What are you doing with all these robots? You can't possibly have that many dishes. And then, you know, sooner or later, you're going to have people that are like, these are my friends. These are my friends. And I've named them all. That's Susie. That's Joey. That's, you know, whatever. They go down the list and then they give them all personalities, you know, because that person can't interact with humans, or they've just given up on humans or something, or they've been betrayed by humans. They're like, the robots never betray me. So those are their friends, you know? Wow. Yeah. This is all going to happen. Everything I've described here is going to happen. And it's not even that far away, you know, a few years. It's going to happen. You're going to see it. It's going to be wild. And then outside the home, this is worth mentioning, you're going to see people's robots doing chores for them out in public, like shopping for them at a grocery store. Okay? And the first time you see this, you're going to lose your mind. Like, what the? There's a robot. It's like getting a watermelon. What? There's a robot paying for the food. The robot using coupons. Please, God, no. Don't let it use coupons. You know, you're going to see robots walking the dog up and down the street. You're going to see robots when you go to like a medical facility, a doctor's office, is going to be a robot greeter. Hi, may I help you? May I harm you with pharma? I mean, can we sell you some drugs? No, thank you. Deactivate. You know, try all the commands, you know, the shutdown commands and everything. Reboot. Secretly upload like the Enoch language library into it so it starts talking about herbs and nutrition. Yeah, start hacking doctors' robots. That'd be funny. But you're going to see robots all over society. And as that happens, you're going to see fewer and fewer humans. Because instead of the human going out and shopping for, well, in my case, avocados, I'm going to send my robot to go out and shop for avocados. And I'm going to hope that that robot doesn't get stolen, kidnapped. It's going to be robot thieves out there, which is why the robots will probably be affixed with, you know, GPS devices, etc., anti-theft systems, you name it. But they'll probably be like sophisticated robot kidnapping companies that use like tasers to deactivate robots and then drag them into a van and drive off. These are the same groups that used to kidnap like women and children, and they're just going to start kidnapping robots and then repurposing them, selling them off to terrorist groups to be terror bots. Yeah, that's a whole nother conversation. I'm not going to get into that right now. But imagine somebody who had these robots, you know, and in bad faith, they wanted them to harm people. Well, if there's robots just walking around society all the time, there's a lot of opportunities for that. So let's not talk about that right now. But just the fact that you're going to see a lot of robots out in society doing things. And sooner or later, you're going to see a robot driving a Tesla. You can like, which one of those is on full self-driving? Is it the car or is it the bot? Something's driving that car. I don't know if it's the car or the bot in the driver's seat. But you're going to see a robot driving an autonomous vehicle and you're going to go, this is like recursive technology nightmare right here, you know? This, what if it all goes haywire? And then at some point, yeah, you're going to tell your robot to go shop at the grocery store for organic celery. And you're going to tell your robot, hey, if you see like Becky Sue's robot at the grocery store, be sure to tell Becky Sue's robot that we said hi. And then your robot's going to say, okay, if I see Becky Sue's robot, I'll tell it that you said hi. And it goes to the store, sees Becky Sue's robot. My human told me to tell you to tell your human that she said hi. And Becky Sue's robot is like, oh, okay, I'll tell Becky Sue that you were told to tell me that. Okay, and then that robot goes back home. Hey, Becky Sue, yeah, Jane's robot told me to tell you that Jane said hi. You see what I'm saying? So more and more social distance. Humans won't be talking to each other as much. They'll be talking through the robots. Did you tell Becky Sue that I said hello? You know, yes, message delivered. Well, what did she say? You know, oh, now we're back to being a token generator. Back and forth, you know, this is going to be insane. Here's one more thing to consider. Do you know that, you're familiar with the concept of satellite phones, you know, like our sponsor, the Satellite Phone Store, SAT123.com. If you want to check out their satellite phones that work anywhere on the planet. Well, you know, Tesla is, they're working on putting satellite capabilities, you know, the Starlink system, having them work with their phones at very low bandwidth, like for emergency signaling and so on, but anywhere on the planet. So if you have one of their phones coming up, this is in the next few years, if you have one of their phones, you can always like send a text through a satellite, even no matter where you are. You don't need a cell tower. Or you can send an emergency beacon, like a GPS location, come rescue me. You know, there's a swarm of honeybees or whatever. I'm caught in an avalanche, snowboarding. You can send a message. Well, it's not difficult to imagine that they're going to incorporate the satellite comms capability with the robots. So your robot, if it's a Tesla robot, will probably be able to talk to satellites. Now, that's good and bad. It's bad for privacy, because it means the robot's spying on you all the time. It could be taking pictures and uploading them to, you know, the NSA or whoever. Maybe it's walking around your house. It's like, there's a gun. There's a gun. There's five guns. You know, you go above the gun limit and then it takes a picture of your guns and uploads that, you know, like it's tattling on you all the time. Or whatever else. I mean, something in your home that the robot doesn't like. I don't know. You have a bag of baking soda and it thinks it's a bag of cocaine or something, you know? And so it calls the cocaine cops on you. You can see how this could go awry. But on the upside, it also means that if your robot is with you, your robot is also a satellite comms system that can, you know, get you out of a tight spot. Let's say you're hiking in the hills with your robot. You know, your robot is your hiking companion, and you make it carry your water bottle, of course, because who wants to carry a water bottle? You're like, you carry it. You're going to be my robo mule today. And the robot's like, no problem. I'm here to keep you hydrated. And, you know, you're cruising down the path, and then you try to take a selfie. You back away a little bit too far from the path, and you tumble down the edge. Kaboom, kaboom, kaplunk. And the robot's leaning over. Are you okay down there? Like, call an ambulance helicopter, please. The robot's going to be able to do that no matter where you are, because it's a satellite emergency beacon. Woo, send the helicopter ambulance with a hoist because missing a leg or something. You see what I'm saying? So there's an upside and a downside to all this tech. But people are going to use robots as companions, as self-defense, also as training partners, teachers. You know, teach me about, you know, how do I plant strawberries, right? Or teach me, you just verbally, teach me about the history of, you know, Thomas Paine. Teach me about the revolution in America or whatever. Or here, be my sparring partner. Let's do a little bit of like fake boxing. Let's do some aerobics. Like whip out the Jane Fonda robot and let's do some aerobics in the living room, you know? Or the, what was that guy? Richard Simmons, if you prefer the Richard Simmons robot. And it's one, and it's two, and it's three, legs high, knees up, and it's four. You're doing great. And like, you can have that robot in your living room if that's what you're into. Go for it. It's whatever gets you off the couch is all I'm saying. Like, stay active. You know, lift those knees, whatever it takes. Robots can be very useful companions for all these different things. And they also might stab you to death while you're sleeping with a steak knife. So, you know, like, whoa, where did that come from? Yeah, it depends on who's controlling it, doesn't it, right? This is why I'm an advocate of decentralized robots running local language models, local open source code that you control. I don't want a robot controlled by some server somewhere, because we know those can get hacked. And that's going to happen one day, too. Somebody's robot is going to get hacked, and it's going to, like, smother the dog or something crazy, something violent, and it's going to set off an investigation into like robo cyber hacking violence. You know, somebody hacked my robot and it set the house on fire, that kind of thing. Fortunately, I had another robot that put out the fire with a fire extinguisher. Whew, that was close. But the robot got hacked, okay? Those kinds of things are going to happen. So be ready for that. All right, well, that's my look ahead. And if you're curious about my timeline here, some of the things I mentioned here might come true in 5 years. Others will take 15 to 20 years. Robots aren't going to appear instantly everywhere. It's going to take time to roll this out because of all the production bottlenecks and also the rare earth minerals like neodymium that are necessary to make the robot actuators and so on. Supply chain logistics are actually very difficult for robots right now. Scaling will take a number of years, and the affordability factor will also take a number of years to come down into widespread residential use. The first robots will be industrial robots. They'll be working in fulfillment centers like Amazon or in warehouse and manufacturing and restocking grocery store shelves, higher priced applications like, you know, medical clinic greeters and things like that. Only over time will they become more affordable and also have more safety features to be used safely in people's homes, you know, autonomous robots in your homes. There's a lot of safety hazards there, obviously. So it's going to take time for that to happen. In the meantime, if you want to experience advanced intelligence in your life right now online, use the tools that myself and my AI team have recently built. And right now, those are at censored.news, which brings you analysis and news trends by analyzing all the censored news headlines and websites. And you can see all the emerging trends from the last 24 hours in every single topic: health, finance, tech, energy, etc., and so much more. And then also on top of that, go to brightu.ai. That's the letter U, brightu.ai. And you can use our AI engine that has a wellness coach that knows all about nutrition. It's got a survival coach now. That's a brand new thing. It's got a financial coach, and it's got an ingredients analyzer, and it's all free, completely free to use. So you can go there and you can enjoy that. And I encourage you to do so. You'll find incredible value in those tools. And there at that website, brightu.ai, there's even a downloads page. It's on the top of the site. Click downloads and you can download our language model for free, and you can run it locally on a graphics card. So you can have total control. And even if the internet goes out, or if you lose bandwidth, or if you're going to go travel to some remote location, you can have all the language model working for you right there, free of charge, locally, in your possession. No one can censor it. No one can stop it. And that was my promise, was to put that language model out for free, which we did. And there are more coming. Great stuff is coming, actually. We've got just extraordinary things on the way. So check out all of that. And thank you for supporting us by shopping at healthrangerstore.com, where we do not have robots. Not yet, anyway. I'm going to get a robot in the studio as soon as one is practical to see if we can make it shovel dirt and fold clothes and things like that. I'm sure it's going to be hilarious because it will fail big time. I'm going to buy like yoga pants, like stretchy yoga pants, and see if it can fold those, because nobody knows how to fold yoga pants. They're unfoldables. You know, like RFK is pushing wearables. What about unfoldables? Yeah, we know. There's a bunch of stuff. It's mostly made of spandex. It's unfoldable. Let the robot try to figure that out. How many tokens does that take for your little brain? Anyway, shop with us at healthrangerstore.com for all your lab-tested clean food, superfoods, supplements, personal care products, laundry detergent that is completely free of synthetic fragrance, chemicals, and toxins and garbage. You know, we do clean stuff, ultra clean. Check out our ingredients. It's awesome. Healthrangerstore.com. So thank you for shopping with us, because we depend on your support to be able to fund and roll out all these new tools. And there are more tools coming. More tools coming that I'm working on right now that I can't wait to tell you about. And it's not going to take very long, because my team is all non-human at this point. So they're pretty quick. And I plugged in that Haiku model from Anthropic. That thing's blazing fast. So it's going to move quickly now. I can't wait. Anyway, thanks for listening. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Censored.news, Brighteon.ai, Brighteon.com, and you can read my articles at naturalnews.com. Take care.
Hawaiian astaxanthin enhances strength, endurance, and vitality. Lab tested for purity and free from China-sourced materials. Experience nature's ultimate antioxidant now at healthrangerstore.com.